Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. I seek protection with God from shaitan's rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I am your host and your engineer and co-producer, Quran Shakir, and this show features our host, Mark Shahid, along with me, Quran Shakir. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a learning lab, and we hope that you are in the learning mode. If so, go ahead and grab a pen and pad and journey with us to explore, examine, and dialogue about the beauty, the value, and practical approaches to making marriage a blessed joy. And while we are making our introductions and opening announcements, we invite you to go ahead and share with your family and friends. Let them know you are listening to IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. To do that, all you need to do is send them a text or make a post on social media inviting them to join you, and they can join you in the studio at 714-816-4673. Again, 714-816-4673. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is my esteemed pleasure to introduce, open the mic, and share this platform with the wonderful Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, and Mark Shaheen, the host, the facilitator, and producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And for those of you who are with us here for the first time, know that this learning lab has been in existence for 6 years and 4 months, and it began all the way back October the 13th in the year 2015 on our sister station, AM 360 Radio, and now it's continued here on IWDM Radio. Want to say, as Quran has already advised you, that this is a learning lab. This is your learning lab, and we ask that you bring an open mind, an open heart, and come prepared. That means, as she has already said, bring your pen, bring your pad, and take good notes, because there, inshallah, God willing, there will be some noteworthy things that will be said tonight in the learning lab, and we do invite you to be a part of it by asking questions or making comments on some of the things that will be said tonight, as we have two special guest facilitators tonight. One of my favorite couples will be joining us here in a few minutes, and we'll introduce them. But we also want those of you who may be listening by way of the internet, that if you want to be a part of the Learning Lab tonight in asking questions or making comments, you have to dial into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. And for those of you who just tune in and just be absorbing all the information each and every week, Karen, Shakira, and myself. And I know our special guest facilitators tonight would love to hear from you too, because if the information is good and you're benefiting from it and it's resonating with you, we also invite you to press 1, and I'll be alerted that you are in the queue with your hand up. So we want to do see some hands up tonight. We also want to let you that we do have a foundation for this learning lab, the Courtship Marriage Learning Lab, as well as the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and it is the same. And the foundation for these learning labs is Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet Muhammad that we call Sunnah, which is the demonstration of the Quran, and also the tafsir, sometimes translated as commentary, but I like clear explanation of Imam W.D. Muhammad, because people can give commentary, but it may not be very clear. But most certainly the tafsir of Imam Muhammad is very, very clear to us. And so Quran, Shakira, and myself, we use that as a foundation. And we are also tonight, as we have the previous 2 weeks, have begun the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. Yes, 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. And so you'll be, Quran will inform you how you'll be able to access them, and you'll be able to follow along on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So as she already said, this is your opportunity to inform family, friends, associates, neighbors, and community members. I'm saying on all of these broadcasts, this is a family affair. So when you come to these learning labs, it's a family affair. I can't sing that note, Dr. Ann, because I couldn't hold a tune if you glued it to me. But it's a family affair. So don't come by yourself. Let's go ahead and start inviting. Because I think you'll be in for a real treat tonight. And before I introduce our special guest facilitators, as always, we always like to do an overview on the Learning Lab here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And to that, back to my very distinguished esteemed co-host and co-facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, my partner, Quran Shakir. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum once again to you, Quran.
Well, alaikum assalam, and it's always good to hear your voice and always good to share this platform with you. And to our listening audience, if you were not here on last week, allow us to just give you a brief update of what we discussed so that you'll know how to proceed in this conversation. So, number one, last week we talked about a question that was posed to us, an anonymous question that was posed, and that question was, what if the one you are courting is playing with you and is a player, that's my words, and not really sincere? How would you know and how would you handle it? When we looked at this question, one of the first things we talked about is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, betray not things entrusted to you. And so the heart and the feelings of a person is a trust. And so that's the first thing we want to acknowledge and recognize. We don't betray those things entrusted to us, so we pray no one is being insincere in their search. But the other thing we say is that to those of us who are on this quest, when you are on what we call this a fact-finding mission, you get the facts about this person. And so what you do is you have certain questions and certain things you are looking for in the person. And so you're asking these questions and you're observing and hearing what they say, but hearing what they say through their actions as well. And so what you want to do is to hear it, get those facts, and if those facts do not align with your values and your interests, then move on. You do not have to be stuck on the fact that they have a challenge that they need to deal with. It is theirs, not yours. You do not have to own it. And when you understand who someone is, then you don't have to try to change them or try to figure out what's wrong with them. Get those facts and move on. And when you are courting, and we gave that definition, when you are courting, You are looking for some facts and some information to get to a conclusion, to a point. And that point is this person suited for me for marriage or not? That's what courtship is. So you're not dating them, because when you're dating them, all you're doing is just enjoying time with them and allowing them just to impress you, so to speak. But in a courtship, you're looking for the expression that will be extracted to give you the facts that you need. And so, as we said, you accept them for who they are. You work really hard to make sure you're getting these facts and avoid emotional connections in getting these facts, because the emotional connections will help you to lose sight of your logical processing of this. And so bidding farewell to them will be easier when you don't have that emotional connection. The other thing that we said is that Islamically, Prophet Muhammad said, all matters are judged by intentions, our niyat, or our motivations. So when we're looking at our quest, like we're dating or we're courting, then go into it as one in courtship, because usually in dating, as you said, one may not state intentions. But in courtship, you state your intentions. And so that's a part of what we're judging on right there, is those intentions. So I love this that you shared with us, Mark, last week, and that is, don't write the script for that person, meaning don't put the emphasis on what you don't want. Look at who that person is, and when you start to tell someone what you don't want in a relationship or don't want in a person, then they start to play the role of what you don't want. Whereas if you just go in and you state clearly your intention that I am looking for a mate, I'm getting facts through this situation in search of a mate. And what they'll do is be able to then define, okay, what is a good God-conscious person that this person may be looking for in this quest for a mate? And when you start to do that, then you can avoid some of the challenges that may come with us trying to make emotional connections or just trying to, as you said, write the script. So the person who is good or God-conscious doesn't have to ask what's good or God-conscious. We also, and that was the answer to that question, and so we spent a good amount of time on that. And then when we began the program and really started to look at the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, it's so interesting that one of the first thing in these 25 things that you would do is to make intentions. And in looking at making intentions, the things that we mentioned is that you would make your intentions through one way would be through your istikhara prayer. And istikhara itself means to seek that which is good. And so the word istikhara comes from the root word khair, and khair in Arabic is representative of all that is good. And it is an umbrella word that represents all that is good. And so when we make this istikhara prayer, what we talked about last week is that it is a three-step decision-making process. One, you prepare for this process by doing your own research in the matter that you are asking for help for, and you're seeking this advice from Allah about all that is good. Two, you actually seek the advice in that prayer, and well, what you do is ask someone of experience and knowledge on the topic, and you seek guidance on it from that person who's knowledgeable of the matter. And then three is when you actually make the prayer itself, and we talked about the istikhara prayer, is one, you pray two rakahs of salat, just like we would normally, and then you make the istikhara prayer, wherein you appeal to Allah and ask Allah that if this thing, and you name that thing, this person, if this is good for me, then make it easy for me in this process. So if you don't have a person in mind, then just this process of finding a mate, oh Allah, make this easy for me. Make it something that comes to me easily, and show me your way. And if it is not, then turn the desire away from me and turn this thing away from me, is what the prayer says. In essence, that is our summary of that prayer.
Yes.
And so that was what we talked about last week, yes. So,
yes, ma'am, alhamdulillah. Yeah. Yeah, I want to say all praises due to Allah. That's an excellent, excellent overview, Quran Shakir. You really covered a lot. And so you can actually go back into the archives and assess the whole of last week's episode here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You can get it in its entirety. I want to, at this time, you know, introduce our special guest facilitators tonight. Two really good friends of mine, and they also at one time I call the dynamic duo had a very informational and educational production on our sister station AM 360. It was built on like a cafe style. Very creative, the ingenuity in terms of putting it together and working together as a husband-wife team. I look forward each and every Sunday morning, tuning in whenever I could, to our good brother Mustafa and Kim Mujahid. And I remember inviting them on as a guest, and they did such an excellent job. I kept inviting them back. And this is their first appearance here on IWDM Radio. And I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to Mustafa and Kim Mujahid. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio.
Alaikum assalam. Rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. It's a real honor, you know, for Quran and myself to have you on here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. I know it's been a long time since I've had you on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, but you made such a great impression upon our radio listening audience when you were on with the insight and wisdom that Allah blessed both of you with. It was just so amazing to me. I said, well, I got to get them back on again. And I think it was several times that you appeared. And this is the first time here on IWDM Radio. And so, you know, Mustafa and Kim, you know, you heard the very substantive, informational overview that Quran Shakir has just gave to our radio listening audience. And we have done this. Was one of the first things that we did when we first started the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I thought it was so very, very important that we do this again because, as you well know, the social dynamic is totally different. Nowadays, we don't usually grow up in the same neighborhood. Our children don't grow up in the same neighborhood. They don't, meaning they don't go to school together. The different centers, recreational centers, and families don't know each other. And oftentimes you don't even know your children's friends, not like it used to be, and what their parents are actually teaching them in terms of values and principles. So oftentimes that's missing. Today is a big void that's there. And so when you're actually looking and seeking a mate, it requires that a courtship has to take place to see if, in fact, there could be a partnership and all. And so that becomes serious business. And so these 25 do's and don'ts, as Quran mentioned, are from an Islamic perspective, but I have invited people on, and I know that we have some people on that are not Muslim, and they actually are benefiting from the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So once again, welcome. And you heard, you know, in terms of the Istikhara prayer, the intention and all. So at this time, any comments that you would like to make in terms of the overview that you heard Quran give to our radio listening audience, and then after that, we'll proceed on down the list and get your insight and wisdom on. So once again, welcome, Mustafa and Kim. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullah. And thank you, Mark, and praise be to Allah. Thank Allah for blessing us to be together. and discuss this very important matter of marriage and courtship, joining men and women together as Allah has intended for us to do.
Yeah, and most of all, let me say this. Yeah. It's an overview. I mean, I'd be remiss if I hadn't said this. This is about 20 or 21 years. Muslim
wow.
camp.
Wow, that's pretty good, Mark. that's right on it, brother.
I ain't gonna say no more because I don't want to convey too much of the history. I have to say too much here.
Go ahead, say as much as you want. you might bring some things to mind. We've forgotten, man.
No, that's all good for you, but I don't want to say too much. But am I pretty much close being on target then, huh?
Yeah, yes, you are. In April, we will be married 20 years. Praise be to Allah.
Okay.
So
wow.
You're right on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And we're happy to hear your voice too, Sister Karen. We're happy to be
yes,
here
we
with the both of you.
Yes,
indeed.
We are.
Praise be to Allah. You all are doing, this is beautiful. I mean, we have been, talk about taking notes. We have, I think I got a half a page of notes. I'm looking at Kim. She hasn't half a page of notes.
We haven't even got started yet.
Yeah. I mean, this is really, as you said, this is very important. I mean, we need knowledge.
Yes,
we can't just, you know, go about this and you know, just even just being good people is not enough. So you're talking about fact-finding, and this is not dating. And not to avoid emotional connection. This is very serious.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to approach anything, much less marriage, you know, based on emotions. You don't want to do that. You know, you want to state your intentions. I mean, these notes that I'm taking, this is, you know, this is beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah.
This is a beautiful roadmap.
Yes,
indeed.
It truly is. Yes, indeed.
Well, you know, Kim, you know, we wanted to make a distinction between dating and courtship. And oftentimes, even after taking the Shahadatain and coming into the fold of Al-Islam as a Muslim, oftentimes, inadvertently, we will use the language of Western society. So Karan and myself, we're trying to correct the language and give more insight to what our perspective actually is. You know, when you heard her say that oftentimes the dating is just to make impressions, courtship is more for expression, to try to get to know that person. So it's very important. So Kim, I mean, you heard some of the overview. What's your thinking in regards to some of the things that was said there in terms of how you see that?
One thing that I think about or was thinking about is to have an idea of what type of person that you're looking for. And it's very helpful, of course, to know who you are. It's very important that you know who you are, and that way you're able to better assess who and what type of person is going to be best for you. It's interesting. I remember that Mustafa had a checklist of things that he wanted to talk with me about early when we just started, our courtship process and just kind of fact-finding about each other. And I had had a checklist before that as well. I had put one together for myself. And that's so important because you're able to take a look at what is important to you. And you're able to focus on those things as opposed to, you know, not having that. And you basically become, you know, more interested and more involved in how this the whole idea of courtship, you know, is making you feel and what have you. This kind of roots us in the particulars, the most important things, the things that you really are going to focus on, those things that are going to help to know whether that this relationship that is leading to marriage under the circumstances that it's successful, what's going to help to keep you together?
Yeah.
And generally that's having more things that are compatible than anything else.
Yes. Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. him, and you kind of segue into the next item on the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, which is to write out a checklist, and Quran, if you have that assessed, if you wouldn't mind reading some of that, you know, in terms of what's being said, in terms of the purpose, in terms of making a checklist. And if you don't have that, I want to just say this and then get Mustafa and Kim's insight on this. I think that checklist, you know, as a wordologist, I'm always looking at things, but it becomes a list that you should check yourself first, because obviously on that list, there's going to be some qualities that you're going to be looking for, as Kim just said. You understand, to see if there's a commonality, you know, and if there can be some compatibility. But I'm looking at the list as a list to check yourself and what it is that you are looking for or requesting that that mate obviously have, because in the relationship there's a law that's called the law of reciprocity. So everybody's looking for somebody good. Even the bad person is looking for somebody good. We watch the movies. the bad guy is looking for a good woman. Don't lie. Don't lie to me. Don't steal and don't cheat. Even though the bad guy is going to lie, steal, and cheat. But he's looking for a woman that don't lie, steal, and cheat. And then you have to ask, how long would that be? You know, it probably won't be long. But the law of reciprocity is that whatever it is that you're looking for in that potential mate, that you also possess those qualities. So I just want to say that. Yeah, so, Quran, if you have that, assess that, you might want to read a little of that information, and then we'll go back to Mustafa and Kim to get their commentary.
Yeah, so I did pull some thoughts. It's all mixed in now because I added my own comments. And so what the thing that they asked is, yes, have a checklist. And I love what you said, Kim, when you talked about in searching for a mate to definitely identify who you are first. And when we look at that checklist of ourselves, that I think, when we've talked about this before, you've got to look at your experiences and who you are based on your experiences, because it shapes you. And then there's someone that has to match your experiences, and that's how you would do that search. So the thing that they ask for in this is to have a checklist, and the checklist helps you to know what you're looking for and to help you set priorities. And that took me straight to the Quran. And in the Quran, Allah tells us in Surah 2, Ayat 282, O you who believe, when you deal with each other in transactions involving future obligations in a fixed period of time, reduce them to writing. So this checklist in us looking for a mate for the future, something that we're going to have, we're going to be with someone, inshallah, for our future, reduce it to writing. What are you looking for? So in reducing it to writing, using what Allah tells us to do, then check yourself, your life experiences to determine the best mate for you. So a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the Quran, and in the Quran, we were looking at these things that Allah said. He said to the believing men and the believing women. And so now this is, we're bringing it back around to you, dear listeners, to say do a self-assessment where you label yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, and then look for these qualities in a mate. So the things that Allah asked you to look for was a Muslim, one who submits their will to the will of the Creator. So on a scale of 1 to 5, how likely are you, or how good are you at submitting yourself to the will of the Creator? On a scale of 1 to 5, scale 1 being not at all, 5 being very much likely. And then the second thing was, on a scale of 1 to 5, rate yourself as a believer, one who believes in the Creator. Rate yourself. Number 3, on your obedience or your devoutness, rate yourself. Number 4, on your truthfulness and your ability to be trustworthy. And number 5, on your patience, Number six, on your ability to be humble and constant. And then number seven, your ability to give in charity. Number eight, how do you fast? How often do you fast? How well do you fast? And then number nine was guarding your chastity. Rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5 on your ability to guard your chastity. And last but not least, number 10 was on your ability to remember, to think, reflect, and engage month in a large praise. So on a scale of 1 to 5, you rate yourself for that, in addition to your life experiences and all of that. And then you would say, okay, so this is what I'm looking for in a mate. This is my checklist for what I'm looking for in a mate. And then to Kim and Mustafa, I remember when the two of you connected, and I think it was at an event that we had on marriage. And I remember when you said you were going to get married. I was like, wow. But I know that you also were those who were intentional, because I watched you in this process. So, yes, that the second thing, dear listeners, is to have a checklist. And before you start checking off what you're looking for in somebody else, and notice, never did I say their height or their pockets or, you know, what's in their pockets or what they own. This right here is all about character, because really that's what will help you to determine how you're going to be able to, as Kim said, to live with that person and to be able to be successful in the relationship.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So, Kim and Mustafa, your commentary on that checklist, how are you seeing that? So we'll go with you this time, Kim, first, and in terms of your commentary.
With regards to putting together a list. Rating. Oh, okay. That's important. That's very important. That's rating yourself, because that's actually some development there. You know, you can take a look at, oh, okay, maybe I need to get a little bit more firm in my constancy in one area or another. That makes you to take a good look at you before you're rating and deciding on the person that you are evaluating or the person that you want to attract. The beautiful thing about this is that it's not necessarily a situation that has to be in front of you right now. Those intentions that we put out there and the person that we are and we want to be and the person we want to attract, that's like a magnet. A lot is put in us that basically as a tractor beam. So when you are, you know, firm in your intentions and you're firm in your desire to be a strong believer and one who adheres to the life that Allah wants us to have, that enables us to have the beauty of creating that tractor beam that pulls that type of a person into our lives.
Well,
I tell you, she has a strong...
Well, you know, most of her, I think your wife said, I'll pull that. So, Mustafa, I'd like to ask you this here, you know, and I want to hear your commentary, too, because we know sometimes people have on their list, and I would like for you to respond to this, and you also can, superficial things. And I think that can be problematic. Because you're looking for the wrong thing. Now, you want to go back to the Iskahar prayer. And there's so many different things in the Iskahar prayer. One of the things that in the Iskahar prayer that we're acknowledging that Allah, you're the all-knowing, Al-Aleem, one of the qualities of Allah, the all-knowing, Al-Aleem, you see, and that you know the unseen. We don't know the unseen. So, you know, so we need Allah's help. We need his guidance and all of that. And sometimes those superficial things are some of the things that we want, but that's not what it is that we really need. So the Iskahar prayer is separating or differentiating, you understand, in that we want what Allah wants for us, and Allah knows best. So, Mustafa, my question is, how important is it to make sure that you check your checklist and see if, in fact, you got superficial things on that, Mustafa?
I think that would be very important. I think that's very important to look at your list, those things that you have a desire for, that you want in your mate, and to put value on all of those things that you have. I have to say this based on my experience. Some superficial, it really it's relative. Something that will be superficial to you may really be very weighty to me. Something will be maybe superficial to me, maybe weighty to you. But as believers, as Muslims, we know we're looking for things that are substantive. We know we're looking for taqwa. There are things that the prophet, peace be upon him, he said that there are things that you can marry for, but the most important thing is that virtue, that taqwa. So that's the most important. But I will say this, and when I say based on experience, I've heard of people having problems in their marriage because the brother or the sister, let's just say you have a thing about hair, and you want a sister that has long hair. If that's really something that's so much a part of you, I wouldn't suggest that be a part of you. But if that is, then find a sister that has long hair. You don't marry a sister that has short hair, and maybe she can't grow long hair and put a burden on her. And, you know, you all are going to have, like, why don't you grow long hair? Why don't you get a weave? Why don't you do this? No, don't put that burden on her. If you know that means so much to you, it shouldn't. But if it does, then find a sister that has long hair. You know, rather than burden that sister, who may be a beautiful sister, but she doesn't have the long hair that you want. Another brother may be very happy with her length of hair that she has, and she may be better suited for him. So I agree, superficial things are not the things that are going to last. They don't have the longevity, but some of us do have that. We do have these needs for these superficial things. And if you know that that's something that you're not willing to give up, then find somebody that has that rather than burden someone, you know, that doesn't have it.
I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, Mustafa, let me stay here with you there, because you did allude to something very important that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that simply means the prayers and the peace be upon the Prophet, he actually gave a short list of why one would marry. So it does contain looks or beauty. It does contain wealth. It does contain lineage or social status. And then fourth one was taqwa, sometimes translated as piety, but Imam Muhammad gave us the best tafsir on there, being God conscious or consciousness regardful of your Lord. And he prioritized that. Now, possibly you could get the other three into the one, is to say you might hit the jackpot, but he did prioritize taqwa, you know, in that regard. But that was on the short list, and I do agree that no, you shouldn't put that type of pressure on a mate to have this and to have that, in terms of that's what it is that you actually want. But at the same time, you know, it's always in moderation in this way of life, not to the extreme, because Allah could actually bless you with one of those things, but it would be void of the main thing that will produce the longevity in the relationship. So I think we have to be conscious of that, because all three of the others, the looks, the beauty, the wealth, and also the social status, all those in time could actually be removed from us with time. But taqwa, and how many times have we ever seen in our life, you know, members in our community were saying to their transition, they were really beautiful people. They were really beautiful people. So then we're not speaking about the external. We're talking about the real true beauty. And they may have had a wealth of knowledge in all that they shared with the people. And they had the status. You know, you go to the Quran in regards to that 49:13 of the Quran, where Allah says that the most honored among you are those who most consciously regard for him. So that gives the type of status that you actually would want to have in that potential mate. Just wanted to say that you did allude to that, and I think that's very, very important. But then the prioritization is even more important, but it's possible that you could get the 3 and the 1. So,
yeah.
Tim, would you like to make some commentary on that, you know, in terms of those, in terms of superficiality, that sometimes that's not the real reality, but oftentimes, like Mustafa said, that may be real for a lot of people, and it may be on their list, it may be high on their list.
That's true. I think that I look at superficiality too. You don't want to be superficial. We all know that there are things, or we should know that there are things that are important and things that are not quite as important. You know, those things that are really important to us, I think there are gradations of that. In other words, you know, I remember having conversations with sisters when I was not married, and we would talk about what are those things that are so important to us. And those were, you know, if the brother that you were talking to, if you could secure in your mind that his focus was being on a good believer, then you knew what to expect. If he, the person that people that knew him would say that he was a good person, and that you had a very good reason to believe that he was truthful, that he would honor his word. Those are all things that are at the top of the list. And then at the bottom of the list, we all have things that are superficial. We want him to be tall, or we want him to talk to us a certain way, or, you know, this, but it's really interesting. When those things are super, super important, they kind of stick around. But I have seen so many times when individuals have had these other ideas of what they wanted, and then this brother comes along and he doesn't have those things, and then he has those other things, that just blows all of that out of the water.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, we're going to keep on moving. I want to say to our radio listening audience that if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed. And our very special guest facilitator tonight is Mustafa and Kim Mujahid, and they're sharing their insight and their wisdom that Allah has blessed them with on some of the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. So if you have a question or comment on anything that our special guest facilitators are saying tonight, or Quran or myself, we do ask that you press 1. You have a question, or you may want to add something, you know, in terms of what that list should be. You know, you might want to share your list. And most of us say, everybody's list is not going to be the same, you know, because we are different people, and there's desires that we have that are different. It's very diversified. I agree wholeheartedly. It becomes a how much emphasis are we going to put on these things that we really desire on our list. And so we'd like to hear from you, and from those of you who may be listening by way of the Internet, we do ask that you call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673, and Quran will alert me that you got your hand up, and we'll bring it in. Quran, let's keep moving with this. Can you give the next one?
Yeah, but we'll talk about the list, though. I want to make sure that on that list that, you know, we say superficial, but some of these things are very important, because sometimes you can have some really good, devout believers,
two really good devout believers connect, and they are not a good match for each other. So there are some other things that we must look at to see if they are aligned. And among those things, we do need to make a list of what do you need financially? What do you need health-wise? What is your quest family-wise? Because if you hook up with somebody who wants 10 children and someone says, I only want one, that's a challenge in that relationship. So we do need to question those kinds of things, too. And even spiritually, you know, you need to look at that. That has to be on that list of what you're looking for in that mate. So we have all those wonderful things that we're looking for, that foundational things and the character, but there are some things that we have to look at as far as experiences go, because if someone has experienced some trauma in their lives and they have not been healed from that trauma, do you really want to connect with that? Can you deal with that? And it doesn't mean you don't connect with them, but you need to be aware of those kinds of things. That needs to be on your list. I'm willing to do this, or no, this is a deal breaker for me. So I think that's important for us to also look at when we start looking at our mates.
Yes. And, you know, I like to say this. You know, we do here in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab one time, and of course, you can get that sent to you as we had on AM360, that Manera, Hampel, and myself. Actually, I put the finishing touches on that premarital questionnaire. This is probably going to be the next thing that we'll deal with here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. What Karan is saying, we have 9 different categories. And as she was speaking about the mental health of a person, we actually have addressed that in terms of question form. And I had to transpose some of these sections, and then I added 2 sections and questions in terms of family planning, or also the polygyny, injected that in terms of family planning. So some of those questions, or you actually get into it once you make your intention. See, so in terms of getting the information about each other, that premarital questionnaire will help in terms of the communication, in terms of asking those type of questions. I think that the list, the checklist here for the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, it can be somewhat of a general list, and you can specify certain things. But I think that the communication brings out more, communication and observation brings out more of the information in regards to that person. So that means that then you actually are getting into the relationship. And in Western society, engagement becomes when the man puts a ring on the finger. But in Islamic courtship, the engagement begins when there is intellectual intercourse, when you begin to converse with each other, communicate with each other. As Karan said, the fact-finding, you know, then that's when the engagement actually begins. So it's a difference in terms of that. As Imam Muhammad said, the end definition is direction, but it's also the correction, too. So I want to just let our radio listening audience know that we still have the premarital questionnaire. The premarital questionnaire will break down in terms of the detailed things, like Karan was mentioning, about money and money management. So we're gonna go through that through the courtship and marriage, because that's important. These are some of the things that oftentimes will cause relationships to fail, because you don't know if there's a commonality, you know, in that particular phase of the relationship. So those things on the premarital questionnaire, I just want to just say that because everything, you can have a real long list of things, you know, in that regard. But you'll find those things out when you actually get into that. So if we could, I would like to move to the next one, because it's relating, Karan, and matter of fact, I know it's relating to, you know, your checklist, but do we eliminate those persons that that don't meet all the qualifications?
Exactly. So number three is that, yes, definitely. Number three is don't dismiss someone if they don't meet all of your requirements. So we can't be so hardcore that it's, you know, we're a stickler for it, and if they don't meet it, then we move on and we just become serial searchers, you know, looking for them. So sometimes we think we know what we want, but it may take meeting someone we wouldn't normally consider to open our eyes to other possibilities. So when thinking of marriage, you should really give each and every potential candidate a chance to make an impression on you, and whatever the outcome, make it a learning experience instead of a wasted one.
Yes. So that's a good point. So Mustafa and Kim, I want to hear your commentary on that, because it could be people that have the short checklist, and there will be people who have what's considered an average checklist, and there will be people that have a long checklist. So I'm thinking that those persons, Mustafa and Kim, that have that long checklist, they'll probably be more likely to be eliminating people. Your commentary. We'll start with you this time, Mustafa.
I agree. We should have a checklist, and I think that we should have priorities. You know, we're believers, so we're going to be looking at things from a faith point of view. First thing is going to be most important to us is that you believe in Allah, that you are, that, you know, we're going to be looking. And even before that, first you have to know who you are. You know, we're all different. We're all different in our development, in our commitment to Islam. You know, we all don't have the same commitment. I mean, you know who you are. Do you pray every day? Do you make your five prayers? Do you read Quran? Are you interested in learning as much as you can about this religion? You have to be honest with yourself and rate yourself. Rate yourself. And then you have an idea of finding a match for that self that you've rated. Yes, you know, if you are a sister who was married to an imam, he passed, and now you're looking for a mate, you might want to be careful about just marrying someone who's just been in religion for a year. And they don't really, you know, I mean, if you've been married to an imam for 20 years, this brother, he's a nice brother. He may look good, may have a lot of things that you want, but you might not be matched. Maybe you would, but there's a good chance that you might not be. So rating yourself, knowing what it is that who you are, where your development is in Islam, then being honest and transparent when you're speaking with your attendee, with the sister during courtship, you know, and her doing the same thing, you know, being honest. She wants, can I expect that you will be calling Nidan to Fajr? Can I expect that you will be, you know, calling Nidan in the house in the town for prayer? Can I expect that when Ramadan comes, you'll be, you know, making the necessary accommodations so we can go to the iftar? And so we can, you know, have Ramadan the way we should have it. These things that are important to you and to us as believers, we want to make sure that they're important. As a believer, you want to make sure it's important to the person that you are considering as your mate. So rating yourself, and then with honesty and transparency, and the two of you coming together with that honesty and transparency, and then coming to that, you know, conclusion, this we want to pursue this, or maybe we should not pursue it because we may not be compatible. Compatibility, that's what we're looking for, basically. Compatibility, and that takes an honest assessment of yourself and sharing that with the person.
That's excellent. You know, Mustafa, that's excellent what you just said, and one of the key thing that you words that you use in terms of the prioritization of that list, and how much emphasis you're actually putting on that, because you know that question was, do you eliminate that person because they don't meet everything that's on your list? you see. So one of the things you said that really struck me is the prioritization. And I think that perhaps you also, what I heard you say, there's some things that's just status quo that the standards that's uncompromising with in terms of that. It may be things on there that actually you could actually work together on those things in the marriage, you know. As I heard my good friend Imam Fahim Shuaib said that, you know, marriage is the womb of love. And some of the things in terms of our development, what he was actually saying, our development, it actually has to take place in the marriage. You know, there's an investment that each make in the other. And then, as you know, any investments, you're looking for a better return, a good return, you know, in that regard. So that's excellent what you said. Kim, want to get you in here and want to get your commentary on, you know, do you eliminate a potential prospect because they don't meet everything that's on your list? How do you see that, Kim?
That's a powerful question. It really is, because I remember. I'm going to just back up a little bit and just share with you a little bit that my mother shared with me. And I have found this to be so true through so many individuals and marriages and people that I have known over the years that have been married a long time. And she said that if there is someone that you meet and you know when you meet that person that I am not interested in this person. Sometimes we all have individuals that, you know, really were pursuing us. And she said, if you know in your heart that you really are not interested in this person, then you stay away from that person, because there's going to come a time when you say those faded words, he's not that bad. And then and then there you are. Because she knew that there's going to come a point in time in everyone's marriage, everyone's relationship, when all of the romance is burned off and you basically are at a point where you're like, do I like this person? Am I committed to this marriage? Is there enough here for me to be able to continue with this commitment? So with that being said, you know, the person doesn't have to have everything on your list, because none of us are probably going to have everything. Either the sister's not going to get everything, the brother's not going to get everything. But do you like this person? Do you think does he seem like a good human being? Does he listen to you? Does he seem interested in what you have to say? For the brother, does it seem like she's someone that can understand how you feel about things? Does she have to have all of the last words? I mean, are you able to come together like a gate, a fence? You know, when you see a gate, basically a little latch that comes down and you know that gate's closed. Is that the way that the two of you can see each other? And if there's more of yes, then no, then you know that that's a relationship that you can go forward with. It doesn't have to necessarily have all of the I's dotted and the T's crossed, but, you know, that's your mate, and you know that.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I love your mother's wisdom, Kim. I love her wisdom, you know, and I think, you know, we should pay more attention to that. You know, you don't want to be like you're faking it. You know that disturbs something in your heart, in your soul, in regards to that person. And eventually, it's, as my mother used to say, it's going to come up and it's going to come out, you know. So very, very good.
Yeah, can I just add something to that? I think that actually I'm adding to my previous comments, Kim's comments. I don't need to add anything to that. But I think you know, it's like if you're going for a car, if you're going to buy whatever it is, house, car, these are no physical things, but they have a relationship to what we're talking about. You know, there's certain things that the car has to have. It has to have an engine, okay? It has to have a transmission. You need to have tires. You need to have a seat. So in your list, there are things that are priorities. And if it doesn't have that engine, then no, I'm sorry. It may have everything else, but it has to have an engine. So we should also have, and I, a list of those things that are deal breakers, those things that are priorities. Okay.
Yes.
No. Yeah, no, sister, I really don't pray that much. I'm not really big on prayers. I'm a good brother, but I'm not big on prayers. Okay? That might be a deal breaker.
That's right.
For a believer. No, brother, I'm not really interested in, I'm just modest when I come to the masjid, but, outside and when I go to work, I just dress like everybody else. I'm really not interested in, dressing like that. Okay, that might be an issue. I think there are things that are deal breakers, and that honesty and that transparency allows us to, to make that decision that we need to make. Yeah. So there are things that are deal breakers.
Yes, there are.
You know, Mustafa, I'm so glad that you said that, because it takes us to ayat that Karan and myself have used here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, this Surah Harum, this 30th Surah of the Quran, the 21st verse of the Quran, where Allah says, "And among his signs is this, that I have made for you from among yourselves mates of like nature, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility." And then Allah goes on to say, "And that it is he who will put love, affection, and mercy between your hearts, verily, and that are signs for those who reflect." And, you mentioned a couple of key words that I think is very important. Allah is telling us that he has made mates from among his human creation of like nature. And then the promise of tranquility. But I think that before you get to the tranquility, the things that you mentioned in terms of quality is religion is sincerity. The prophet said religion is sincerity. It's also in terms of the quality of honesty, integrity, transparency. And then you're looking for commonality to see if there can be compatibility. And if all those things are checks in terms of yes, then you know that you will be able to dwell or live together in tranquility. But I think that if there's no sincerity, there's no honesty, there's no integrity, there's no commonality, there can't be compatibility, and then, of course, you shouldn't look for tranquility in that. And I think that's very, very important, and the prioritization is very important, too. And I think both you and Kim both have alluded to the fact that one of the foundational things that also often emphasized is that the first relationship, the foundation for all relationships, is the relationship with your Lord and Creator. This is very, very important. The relationship with your Lord and Creator, are you conscious, regardful of God's word, his will, and his way? Because there are many words, but they're not the words of revelation, Allah revealing to us about us. And also what God's will is for us. And Imam Muhammad said we should strive to the best of our ability to conform to what God's will for us so that we can live the life the way Allah wants us to live the life, including in the marriage and also the family life. This is very, very important. And then we'll find that when we talk about character, that depending on the relationship that we have with our Lord and Creator in terms of God's word, will, and way, it helps to shape and form the character that we all will be looking for and all. So I think that's very important. So, Karan, I know you may have some questions that you may want or commentary that you want to lend in regards to the elimination of people, because everything that's on your list, how important is that? I mean, if it makes the list, would it qualify to eliminate? And I think Mustafa, Kim, one of them said that, there's probably not going to be anybody that's going to be in compliance with everything that you have actually on your list. There's no perfect men, no perfect women, or what. There might be some things that could be worked upon, but then I do agree there's certain things that are standard, and as Mustafa said, would in fact be deal breakers. You know, you don't need to continue to carry on with that relationship because you already know in your heart and your mind and your soul that it's not going to work. Correct?
Absolutely. And I just want to make a reminder to our listening audience that you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. If you're in the studio, we invite you to join our conversation, ask questions. If you're liking what you're hearing, then make comment with us. Push one on your phone, and we'll be glad to bring you into the conversation. If you're listening online, we invite you to join us in the studio by dialing 714-816-4673. And once you get into the studio, you want to be a part of this conversation, push one on your phone. And while our audience is thinking about that, I just want to say that I liked what Mustafa said about the priorities, you know, like what's a deal breaker for you and what isn't. And so it took me back to when I was courting myself in that process of courting, which is almost 2 decades ago. And in that process, I had children, and I wanted to make sure I did not connect with someone who was so righteous that, you know, they would impose the religion on my children, that it would leave a bad taste in their mouth. That was important to me. And so one of the things I observed was how they talk about religion and the practice of religion. But I asked them specifically about how you deal with young people, because I had sons and daughters who were, some were entering their teen years and some were under 10. And so looking at a potential mate for me at that time, it was very important to me that they be practicing Muslims and that they be practical Muslims. Because I needed for my children to see the model, but I also wanted them to not feel burdened by that process. So that was important. And there were some who were, as you said, you know, I think it was you, Mustafa, who said, you know, they were like, you got to dress this way and all this. I'm like, if I have teens going through a process, I don't need anybody to be so strict on them. They want them to put a pin under their scarf and tie it under their neck. So I think it's really important for us to do that and to decide what is that deal breaker and what is it that we just cannot live with. And when we talk about this being a fact-finding mission, that's a part of what we're saying, is to have that list and to not try to change anybody, but to be able to make a decision. Can I live with this person like this or not?
Right.
And that's important, you know, to be able to see what you need and want and be able to make a decision based on those facts.
Yeah.
I think that's excellent, Karan. Anybody else would like to make a comment on that? We do invite you. You don't just have to listen to us. I know you have thoughts and about some of the things we're saying, and if it's resonating with you, I'm encouraging you to press 1, come into the conversation, and you might want to share an experience with us. We would appreciate that too. If there are any more, Kim, do you want to make any more comments in regards to that? Because we'll keep on moving on down the list here. We're enjoying your insight and wisdom that you're sharing with us. Any more comments that you want to make on that? If not, we'll move to the next one on the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship.
Yes, sir, Mark. We're enjoying the move. So
yes.
Okay. So, Karan, what do we have after that in terms of 25
four,
do's and don'ts?
Yes. Number 4 is do consider halal. They say halal dating, so I say halal courtship. And
with this idea
of halal courtship, what they're mentioning is the fact that we're living in the 21st century, a time we have social media and high technology, and we're living in a pluralistic as well as a gender-integrated society. And so they're saying that this modern way that Muslims are marrying is different. So it's also impacted by the Muslim divorce rate, which has consistently been on the rise for the past 20 years. So they're saying that these realities are undeniable, and in order to prevent further problems as a community, we need to redefine the courtship process without compromising the guidelines of our faith. So that's number four, for us to really consider halal courtship and redefining what courtship looks like for us.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. So we'll start with you this time, Kim, in terms of the social dynamic totally is different, as I mentioned earlier on. Once upon a time, we actually had more marriages based on our socialization, what we had in common, growing up in the same neighborhood, the same block, going to the same schools, the same culture centers and activity centers and all, and our parents knowing our friends and our friends' parents and vice versa. Pretty much they get the same type of teachings, the emphasis put on principles and values and all, a good moral upbringing from the families and all. We don't find that so common today. And so oftentimes the advancement in technology and all is being utilized, but they're saying still realize the importance of halal. And just to say, you know, halal is not only that which is permissible, but halal is that which is also healthy. And so oftentimes, for many people, they think about halal, they think about food. But halal is comprehensive. It's more than just food. It's every component that comprises the human being, as I often say on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The parents are responsible for the nurturing, the cultivating, not only the physical, but the moral and the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. So, you know, Kim, when you look at that in terms, how does that resonate with you? I mean, of course, you are already married and everything, but it becomes a daunting challenge, especially for young people, you know, that's entertaining marriage and all in terms of utilizing the social media, but keeping it halal. Kim, I know that's a big question. I know you said, oh, Black Shaheed, I didn't know I would be in for all of this.
You know, that's true. On a level, I have to say that this whole idea of this era of social network, I'm not the best person to help to untangle that because I'm not a person that really, you know, utilizes Facebook and the Twitter and that kind of thing as much. But now
you
let
me
just step back a bit. Let me just
now, if you want to be fair, you can always put it on Mustafa now. I mean, you know, he's got broad shoulders.
No, let me just say, I'm going to put on my elder cap here. And I'm going to say that if a young person were to ask me or a person that is not such a young person were to ask me, I would say that, you know, the social media and the social network, that's a thing, and it's there, and there's a good part of it. But one thing that I have felt myself is that sometimes there's a separateness. Hands-off, it's a distance that sometimes is created by this. I believe that two people that are contemplating sharing their lives together, at the very least, they need to talk to each other. Not text, not Facebook, not Twitter, not any of that. You need to talk to each other, and you need to talk to each other a lot, because that's one of the best ways to get to know someone, is to hear their voice and to have them to respond to you real time, even though you can't see people now like you used to and what have you. You can talk to each other. We can pick up these cell phones and talk to each other, because these kinds of things are very, very important. You can portray a whole lot of things, you know, in words and on when someone's not seeing you. But we know what we hear, and we know how we feel when someone does call us. I mean, when you think about it, just even now, a person, when they call you, that's special, because everybody's texting each other now. You know, so you're getting a telephone call? Okay, wait a minute now. that's a whole different thing. So I would say, from my standpoint, maybe we need to use some of this social networking, which is it has its place, but in the situation that is something as integral and intimate as a courtship, where you're trying to get to know who this human being is, let's talk to each other.
I say that's a big talk there. I love I got a big smile on my face, Tim. You say you wasn't the best person to ask this question to. That's excellent. Now, that's some excellent, excellent advice. Mustafa, we're waiting to hear from you in terms of your commentary on this here, you know, halal courtship, you know, but, you know, utilizing the advanced technology and all. I don't know how you can say it better than Kim already said it, but anyway, your commentary, please.
Yes, and I agree with you. I second that takbir. But
the law, like, but
yeah, I think Kim, she hit it. She hit the nail on the head. There are things that, you know, the things we can't compromise. I mean, even the technology is what it is. But technology, our understanding of technology and our understanding of everything, really, that is to be a utility, so that we can be better at what we're doing, so we can be better believers, so we can be better Muslims. If utility is not doing that, then we need to rework it. But we don't just jump on the bandwagon because this is technology. Everybody's doing it this way. No. So I agree with Kim. Certain things we can't compromise. We have to talk. How can you, you know, you couldn't be in a, I don't see how anybody could be in a courtship, which is texting and emailing and goodness, you know, Instagramming. I mean, you need to talk. You need to communicate. And don't forget this too, which is extremely important. We need Wali there. We need someone else. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there's no marriage without a wali. So we need someone else there that does what, that helps us to do what Quran was talking about, and that is to avoid the emotional connection. Because during that courtship, even if it is, you know, Facebooking or Instagramming, you're looking at her and she looks good, and she's looking at you and you look good, and, you know, emotions do come into play. So you need someone that is not looking at it like that. They're very sober, and they're looking at the substantive matters here, okay? Are you two compatible? Okay, are you two being transparent with each other? Are you two discussing very important matters that is going to be the foundation of your relationship? So we can't forget Wally. And we can't forget that we need to talk to each other. So if this technology is going to take that away, then we need to do without the technology for a little while.
That's a big takbir too, Mustafa. I'm not even. So, Quran, I know you have some insights you'd like to share, Quran. And here we go. Yes, ma'am. Please do.
I would say, since we're making our list, then there may be some things that you can use, since we're redefining the courtship process. You can use social media to get you some information on, because you can look at a person's Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. You can look at those pages, and it'll tell you a whole lot about what's important to them. Are they superficial? Do they really think more about looks, or, you know, what are they posting? Just look at that, not for to connect with them, but to observe. That's a part of your observation of them.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely what Kim said, where you need to have that interaction with, you know, the statement was that our divorce rate has been increasing in the last 20 years. So we're looking to not contribute to the divorce rate, then we want to do all those things that are going to help us to be successful in our relationship. And one of the things that came to my mind when Kim was talking was the hadith where the Prophet, peace be upon him, told the man who was looking for a mate to go and look at her face. Because, you know, the faces were covered during that time. The faces and everything was covered except the hands and part of the face. So he said, go look at her face to see if you want to live with her and be married to her. So looking at the face is another way for us to say, let's get personal, up close, and see them. And do it, as Lucifer said, with a chaperone, yes, with someone present, so you're not going to get emotionally connected, but you do need to see that person for who they are physically. And you know, do you connect? Because you don't want a relationship like Ali had with his wife. And she was like, I can't be married to him because they never connected. So you want to be able to connect, and getting that connection means that you need to be in each other's presence to get that. But we can use the technology just to get some other facts about that person. Or even to look at who their friends are.
Was that, Ali, are you mentioning Zayd?
Zayd.
Yeah, you know, Zayd was like the adopted son of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it wasn't that, and actually this was actually the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife, cousin, and all. And this is actually in the Quran where Allah gave the Prophet permission to marry and all. It's a lot more I can say about that. I don't want to take a lot of time to do that, but that's a very important point that Quran is bringing up. And I think that, you know, now this is not talking about being superficial, but you have to wake up to that person each and every morning, you know, and, you know, and so we're not overlooking or want to say, oh, well, it don't matter, you know. Yes, it does matter, and anybody that said it didn't matter, they wouldn't be, as Muslims would say, a person of honesty and integrity and transparency. This is very, very important. So, yes, and the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also was reported as saying that you should observe them. You should observe them. Very, very important, you know. You should observe them, you know. And we need to take what it is that the Prophet is saying, because it just wouldn't make sense, whereas that you never – your communication, you know, like I said, it used to be, whereas oftentimes you grew up together. So you played together and all of those things. And you did those things, and so you got to know them, and they got to know you. Now, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were all living together in close proximity, and they actually knew each other. So it wasn't a lot in terms of emphasis that had to or was needed to be put on courtship, because when you know each other, it's just like some of us have been around long enough to have witnessed that. You know that person. You live in the same neighborhood. You went to the same school. You've been over to each other's houses. You know their parents. You know their family, and vice versa, and all of that. Well, you know, in the courtship, that's what you're trying to get to know, because you didn't have the luxury as we once did once upon a time. I can say once upon a time that many marriages actually came from that close proximity. This is very important, and the Prophet Muhammad exemplified that in his life. All of his wives, even in the polygynous relationship, they knew each other, and they actually had dinner. They had dinner together. Now, you know, I know that some people probably got a look on their face, Mark, why do you have to say that? Well, I'm saying it because it's true. I mean, because that's just an extension of the family life and getting to know each other and making contributions in that regard. So we shouldn't have any hesitation or reservation in regards to actually get to know. And it's like Mustafa and Kim both said, it's no replacement. There's no replacement. Not even social media, you understand, can give you that. You know, if we understand what communication is, about 55% is nonverbal. So how are you going to be able to see that and know that? And then tone of voice and then words. So you actually want to be able to not only hear but also to see them in all. And see them in different social settings, in social settings, you know. You want to be able to see them in family settings. You want to see them in community settings and all.
Yes.
This is very important. Yeah, go ahead, Mustafa. I can hear something that you might want to say.
Okay, Mustafa, after you finish, we do have one of our listeners that's pushed one on their phone.
Okay.
We
can go straight to the listener.
Yeah, go ahead. Brian, let's go to the listener and see what they have on their mind.
All righty then. 321-917. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Pod. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the internet.
Yeah. I got to know that voice.
Thank you so much. Yes, Lacey Umar here, Melbourne, Florida.
Ma'am, Lacey Umar.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Y'all are nailing this down so tightly, boy. It's such a nice, such nice to hear all of the comments.
I think our special guest facilitators at Crown, they're doing an excellent job because they're bringing up certain things that are very, very important, Imam DeLacy. And I know you have some wisdom that you like to share with us also. Yes. I want to say this here to Kim and Mustafa. This is Imam DeLacy Umar Phillips, very distinguished and esteemed host on our sister station, AM 360. And he hosts a show each and every Saturday morning, preparing yourself to make it in the land of plenty. Just even the name of that show should make you want to listen. Preparing yourself to make it in the land of plenty. Every opportunity I get, I listen in on Saturday morning and all, and give you the time after he's finished with his commentary. So welcome, Imam DeLacy. I know you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make to our special guest facilitators.
Yeah, let me just kick that about out of the picture. It's 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. I was enjoying so much the comments, Sister Kahan, especially when you were talking about looking at their posts and et cetera, and certainly the looking at them, seeing them. But what I wanted to mention in the lack thereof, the listening for honor. You know, I heard a minister talk one time, and he was talking about this issue, and he said, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would teach me honor.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you can't spend a lot of time getting to know a person, but you can learn who they honor, what's their idea about honor. Do they honor their parents? Do they honor leadership? Do they respect and honor our Creator? For instance, all of this, you know, who do they honor? And I think listening, you can listen for that. That's something you don't have to see the person. You can actually listen to see how they respect others and et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
I love it.
Well,
you
said a mouthful, buddy, ma'am. You said, and I think that's very noteworthy. I'm quite sure, Karan, I have that in her overview next week, you know, that becomes a sign, you know,
mm-hmm.
who is that you honor and how important that is. It tells a lot about a person. So thank you so much, Brother Imam. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, we're just enjoying the conversation and certainly all of the wisdom being shared. And I know we – people can benefit. Young people, older people looking for marriage can definitely benefit by this, some of the things.
Yes,
that,
sir.
Thank you
yeah,
so much.
So that's Imam DeLacy Umar Phillips each and every Saturday morning on our sister station, 515-605-9891, 515-605-9891. At 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Central, and 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. That is the production is titled Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. And he usually has a recurring guest, Professor Rabbani Muhammad, and all. So please tune in, listen in, and bring your pen and pad. It's not a learning lab, but it should be. Thank you, my brother, man.
Yeah, just a note, the professor is in Ethiopia now.
Oh, he's in Ethiopia. He's still in Ethiopia.
Taking on
okay.
Importing products from over there to here. So he's been gone now about a week or so.
Yeah.
Not too long now, so.
Yeah, so I have some of that outstanding great black seed oil that's imported, you know, some of that platinum black seed oil. But it's good. It's good. Thank you so much, Brother Imam, for calling in.
And thank you
appreciate
all for a wonderful program. Peace and blessings.
Yes, yeah, thank you, Brother Imam. Yes, indeed.
Yes, thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, so, Quran, we got anybody else in the queue?
No, that was it. And just want to remind our listening audience that you, too, can share your comments. Push 1 on your phone, and we will gladly bring you into the conversation. If you are listening online, you are invited to dial 714-816-4673 and join us in the studio. Once you do, push 1, and we will join you with us to ask questions, make comments, or just give us a greeting. Speak to our guest today. We have with us Kim and Mustafa Mujahid.
Yes. So just before we stopped to take that call, was it Mustafa, you had something that you had on your mind you wanted to share with us. Do you still remember that?
I think so. I just really wanted to appreciated Quran's comments regarding how you can use, you know, this technology really to, you know, get information on someone. That's real. So she's absolutely right. We can, that there would definitely be a help. Cause that's what we're trying to do.
Yes.
We're just trying to get as much information. And that's what my checklist, I had about 3 pages.
All right, Kim, I'm going to ask you, how long was your checklist? He had three pages. What about yours, Kim?
You know, I remember I had one solid page, but I didn't have 3 pages. But I think it was so funny. I remember the first, when we did actually meet, I did see that little slip of paper or whatever, but the little paper started sliding away, you know, after we started talking. I guess I must have answered the question.
And it was a checklist, but more than anything, it was reminders on things that I wanted to talk about. You know, I had been married before, and I didn't feel like I wanted this to work. So I said, listen, let me put together some things that I have learned from that we can discuss.
So we
need to be clear. You know,
but let me just say this. It was really, what was beautiful about that was that, you know, I didn't know Mustafa. He didn't know me. And from the questions that he asked me, it gave me an opportunity to talk to him, have him talk to me. We basically, that formed the basis for our conversation for a while. So it took a little bit of the nervousness away.
Yeah.
And before you know it, we were just actually having a conversation. So it really worked out beautifully. A lot of work that out for us so beautifully.
Yeah, and I didn't even use the second and third page. I mean, after we started talking, it just started flowing. But, yeah.
You didn't even need the second or third page. You didn't get past the first page. You was good.
No. But you do need to talk about things, though. That is so important.
But you said you didn't have to utilize the second and third. You had 3 pages, but you didn't have to to go through all three pages?
No, because what became very clear to me was that there was a compatibility of our, one, our commitment to Islam and our compatibility. And I said, okay, that's the foundation. So those major things. And then we still, that was just our first encounter. That was our first, I'm trying to use a word other than date. That was our first our first meeting, the first time we met, independent of being at the master.
We already were making the world with the language, right? The Muslim.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look at Muslim. We love it. It's so beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Karen, keep us rolling here. Where we go next here on this 25 do's and don'ts? This is good. I'm enjoying it. Karen?
This is good. Yeah, so, all right, so that was number four. And I'm loving number five because I just know so many Muslims who do this one. Number five, everybody ready? Drum roll. Don't rush into marriage. And so rush in, rush out. So the comment is that contrary to popular belief, there is nothing wrong with having an engagement period in Islam. This time where you get to know each other. The length of time it takes to get from the initial meeting to the nikah process is entirely up to the couple and their families. Sometimes, however, because of cultural misinterpretations or misunderstandings of the religion, people are made to feel guilty for not marrying quickly, and they end up foregoing the very important process of truly getting to know someone. Marriage is supposed to be a lifelong union, so make sure you have enough time to thoroughly investigate or learn about your potential partner. Make the time to talk to each other, observe each other in different groups, different settings, and allow people closest to you to spend time with you and them as well. And remember, this is what they say. Quickie marriages more often than not lead to not so quick and messy divorces. So I love this. Do not rush into marriage.
So, in my rotating process here, Mustafa, if I'm remembering correct, the last question went to Kim first, and so you'll be the first one to respond to that. Don't rush into marriage. And you heard all the commentary that was made there as Karen just read that. What comes to mind in terms of rushing into marriage? Desperation? It's not an aspiration, but desperation. So how would you respond to that, Mustafa? Don't rush.
Responding to that, the first thing I think of, desperation is probably, it could be, yes, that's not a good thing, desperation. But the first thing that came to my mind was haste makes waste. You don't rush. You don't want to rush into something so important as this marriage. No, you don't. You want to take your time. You trust Allah. You know, if it's something, I don't like anything high pressure. Any high pressure sales, anything, you got to make a decision right away, and that turns me off. No, give me some time to think. We're supposed to think about things. Allah says we're supposed to think. We're supposed to use our mind to ponder, to give reflection. No, so we should do that when we're meeting someone, no matter how good it looks, and maybe also too bad. Think about it first. You know, think about it for a while. And sometimes too, if you have someone that you can trust, a learned person, someone developed in the religion, good moral person that you spent time with, they know you, maybe the imam, maybe somebody in your family, a good friend, a relative. Sometimes they can be of help. Not in making the decision, but in helping you to see some things that maybe you're not considering. So, yeah, you need time. We need time. There's no, you know, haste. Brother, well, I got some other brothers interested, so, you know, let me know right now. Whoa, Okay, I'll let you know right now. I'm going to let you know right now. No,
you,
I think
you
we
know,
need
it's just,
we
you know,
have.
Most of us that listen to you, it's just like in terms of the worst time to really go shopping or be in a grocery store is when you're hungry.
That's right.
You didn't need that, and you didn't need that, and you didn't need this,
no.
But you're hungry.
No.
Yeah, my stomach is growling, and I'm hungry.
No.
So, you know, even...
That's right.
Even during Ramadan, you know, you don't want to just do it in desperation. It's an aspiration, obviously, that you should have if you're consciously regardful of a marriage in terms of Allah establishing it and its purpose, the sacred institution of marriage. You should be consciously regardful of that Allah has established, and this is His marriage. So we should be conscious of that, but He doesn't want you to do it in desperation. And, you know, we've heard for many, many years, it is the most hated halal. There's only one thing that, Allah dislikes more than the divorce, and that is a bad marriage, because when we understand that the purpose of it is not just for those two people, but it becomes a model for our young people, you know, and all.
Mm-hmm.
So it has more, it's more comprehensive than sometimes actually realize, and is important for the building of community life of Ummah. So this is very, very important, and we understand that the family, and this is something that, you know, I know we're going to have you back again, because this has become a real serious problem in terms of the many children that are actually born out of wedlock, you know, and we're at the low end of the totem pole, whereas the statistics say anywhere from 70 to 75 and almost as high as almost 80% of African-American children are born out of wedlock. So which means they're not putting very much or little or no emphasis on the sacred institution of marriage, but there is a way that Allah wants us to live and conduct our life. So, Kim, I know you have something that you like to share with us in regards to the rushing into marriage. Kim?
I do believe that it's not a good idea to rush into anything that is really something that's important in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take, as Mustafa said, you know, that's not something that we should rush. I mean, we shouldn't rush into any decision that
mm-hmm.
is going to really impact our lives. And when we think about it, we're taking the time to get to know someone. That's a beautiful time. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful
mm-hmm.
time that, you know, where you are in courtship and you're finding out about this new person and they're finding out about you. And what's interesting in many cases is you're finding out things about yourself that you might not have known before. So, and you're reflecting on, you're enjoying that too. You're getting to know a whole new dimension that you weren't aware of before. And what's beautiful is that when we're not rushing, and we are focusing on God consciousness, and we are making dua. The beautiful thing about Islam is that we as individuals have a personal relationship with our Lord. We have a personal relationship with Allah. We can take our desires and the things that are so important to us to prayer and ask Allah to help us and guide us and be with us as we're making this decision.
Yeah.
And that's what cements our the decision that we do make. And that doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be, of something that we rush.
That's right.
You know, as I was listening to you, Kim, it came to mind, you know, and I think that's honor, you know. It's like Imam DeLacy Umar used the word honor, and it came in my mind as you were speaking to honor and respect what Allah the Creator has given to all of us, and that's a free will, a free will to make a choice, to make a decision. And as you well know, Allah has said in the Quran, there is no compulsion to religion. You know, and all throughout the Quran, Allah does not even compel us to accept his truth. He don't compel us. He just tells us, you understand, what the consequences are for those who accept his signs, or meaning his message, and what the consequences are for those who reject his signs or his message. And, you know, it's just like nobody should be able to come up to you in your masjid or your Islamic center and say, you've been coming here for 3 years now. You ain't took the Shahada thing. You should do it. You should do it. No, you can't coerce them. You can't compel them. See, because you're going to have to stand up before Allah and before witnesses and say, I bear witness. You see,
absolutely.
If you're not at that stage to say that, then you shouldn't be compelled to say that. You know, so I'm looking at that analogy that if you're not there, you understand, because actually in that courtship, as you look at the word court, the judge is trying to get enough proof and evidence, as the Quran understands, proof and evidence. Even in the courtship, you're trying to get enough proof and evidence that you can make a good, sound, logical, rational decision, you know, in regards to that. So if, in fact, that it's like a hung court, a hung jury, whereas I'm still hung up on something, then you shouldn't proceed forward in that. So so oftentimes that question is asked, you know, the courtship and marriage money lab, how long should the courtship be? And you can't give, there's no standard answer. There's no standard answer in regards to that. Mm-hmm. So, Quran, I know you have some input that you would like to share on that, because you said this is one of your favorites. Don't rush. It's an aspiration, but don't rush.
Yes, I want to emphasize to all of us that in Islam, because some people think, you know, if you don't rush, then something's wrong with you. And I just want us to know that Islam does not promote that concept. And that we cannot and should not be pressured, and that everything happens in its time. So allow that time to progress.
Right.
And if you have a list of things you're looking for, take your time and look and listen and gain it. You know, who was that that questioned the prophet, peace be upon him? If you're really the prophet of God, then why didn't you get the book all at once? You know, Allah took his time and hold that for over 2 decades.
That's nice.
So we have to be patient and allow things to happen. And, you know, when I'm talking to my students, I say to them, don't go for the microwave version of food. Go for that slow cooker. It has much better flavor. Oh, man, it's going to be so
good. Hello,
Akbar. I really like
that
idea. I really like that idea.
That's a big talk beer. Allahu Akbar. I like that. That microwave versus it might take a little longer, but the taste of flavor is going to be a lot better, right, Karan?
And the benefit is going to be better. You know, it is.
The
microwave isn't that good for you either.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. Yes, Allahu Akbar. And you know, I love what you said, Karam, because there's a natural progression, and you don't want to abort the natural progression in the relationship, just unfolding like a beautiful rose. You know, it takes time and everything. And then that's what you reported, the narrative in terms of, man, you know, wanted the prophet to prove that he was the prophet, he was Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. It was revealed, but over a period of 23 years, in all, You have to ask yourself the question, if it was revealed all at one time and we was given, we just look at our education. You know, that's why it's called graduation, because you're gradually learning. And there's certain points, you understand, there's an acknowledgement. So the one that graduates from elementary school, all of those teachers from kindergarten to first grade, second grade, you understand, they are part of that process. You know, see, so everything gradually happens in terms of naturally, and Allah is showing us that in his natural creation and all too. But that becomes a sign, and it becomes a message that even what it is that he has established as a sacred institution of marriage, that it's a gradual process that actually has to happen. Karanda, see if we can squeeze in, maybe say one more and get a little more in terms of commentary. What do we have after that, Karanda?
Okay, so, and we just have just a short bit of time, but most definitely then our,
yes.
What did we just do? We just do number five. So our sixth,
did we get number five?
Yeah. So the sixth thing that we will be looking at then when we start looking at the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, and this is just a reminder for our listening audience that we're on number six. And number six is going to be do request references. And so when we talk about a reference, part of the screening process should include meeting and speaking with other people that the potential person, the potential mate knows. That's called the references. And this is especially the case for matches found online, especially then, through matrimonial events or those who live in different communities, provinces, or geographical locations than you do, it's important for you to get to know who they are. So if you're introduced to someone who you know nothing about, make sure to thoroughly investigate who he or she is. And if they have nothing to hide, then they should have no problem giving you an opportunity to meet or speak with others close to them. And if they make excuses, here's a red flag, then, or they make you feel bad for, quote-unquote, not trusting them, or they make other attempts to evade a reference list, then take it as a major red flag. And in this day and age, the last thing you should do is let your emotions and the excitement of a budding romance cloud your judgment. So definitely do request references.
Alhamdulillah. Excellent, excellent. So, Cam, I'm going to go to you first first on this here. The importance of references, you just heard what Karanda just read in reference to making sure that you get references. And once again, the social dynamic is that you may not even live in the same state nor the same city nor the same community. And once again, as Karanda said, utilizing social media as it can be a benefit, but you don't know them and they don't know you. How important is CAM in terms of actually getting references? You know, even when you go to court, we talk about courtship, oftentimes they ask for character references in regards to that person. Can you get character references and all? And some people have a hard time getting a good reference from anybody. Kim, your comments, please.
References are very important, especially because of the importance that we place on how are you functioning in the community. Generally, if a person is a person of integrity and he's a person that is a good and upstanding believer in the community, he or she is going to have references readily available and going to be very happy to share those references with you. I would look at it as a red flag, a serious red flag, if a person was very hesitant or guarded about sharing references, because that's very, very important, especially with someone as if you have no family ties with, or you have no history with. This person is maybe new in the community, or you don't know them. you know, the references that they have and the types of references that they have, you know, are very important in that. But this is one thing. I know we have just a very short period, bit of time, but I also want to say the importance of this. I remember I have been told over the years a few times when I have spoken with a sister whose marriage was ending. And the thing that I have heard more than anything else is that they did not have a Wali. And that is such an important aspect of us preparing for marriage. That Wali is also a part of the reference that we have for getting married. Our Wali is the protector. He is the one that Allah is basically set aside this institution of the way that we bring marriages together. That person is very, very important, and it could be that we would have a better way of a better insight if we were to utilize and with intention the advice of the Wali, because he is not going to be clouded. His judgment is not going to be clouded by whatever is going on. He's going to be looking at, okay, what does this couple need to know about each other, and how can I help to facilitate the basis and the foundation of this? So I can't emphasize more the importance of having a Wali to be a part of the courtship process.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Kim. Excellent. Mustafa, your commentary, if you would.
Yeah, I would think it would be irresponsible not to get references. And this is one of the things I think that I wouldn't ordinarily tell people what to put on their deal breaker list, but this is one thing I wouldn't have any, I would say, that I think people should have on the deal breaker list is this references. Yeah, you want to know something about this person from others who know them better than you do, longer than you do, you know. Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, and you would think it's just like what Kim said, that if you're a person of good character, you wouldn't be hiding anything, not only in terms of community, family references and community references, where people actually know you. Shouldn't be no hesitation or reservation for them speaking up on behalf of the type of person that you actually are, you know, in that regard. And then even if you are Muslim, if we're speaking to Muslims and Muslimas, you should be able to even the resident imam there, and like you say, the believers there, because if, in fact, that you are God-conscious, and you actually should be serving Allah, which meaning that you actually should be serving people and doing good, people can't help but to notice and to see that. And people just generally would not have any reservation or hesitation in speaking up on behalf of you in that regard. But if, in fact, that person was... had disdain for, why do you need to know this and why do you need to know that? Then you ask, well, why shouldn't I know this and why shouldn't I know that in regards to you? Because I don't know you. I'm trying to get to know you.
Yeah.
So those persons that know you, that you're around, you shouldn't have any problem with them being questioned in regards to who you are. You know, in that regard, so those are very important. Karan, anything? I know you like to say.
Yeah, I know we're at the top of the hour, so I want to continue this next week because I have some questions you should be asking.
Oh, okay.
You know, you can just say what kind of person are they, and they just say they're good. So we want to talk more about what you would ask that reference. You know, when you're getting that reference, so you can get the answer.
Well, you know, we don't want to make any assumptions and everything. So off air, I check in with Mustafa and see if the availability, you know, to come back, because I know I have enjoyed this immensely, having Mustafa and Kim Mujahid join us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So I don't ever want to put anybody on the spot on national radio in terms of that, because I don't want to be presumptuous, but prayerfully that they'll be able to come back with us next week and we can continue on with these 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. I want to thank both you, Mustafa, and Kim, for the insight and wisdom that you shared with us here. I'm quite sure that our radio listening audience, we always invite them to listen in, but also to take notes and all. And I know I appreciate it. I know the Quran has also, and what is it that you shared with us. So if that's possible next week, then we ask you to rejoin us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So, and I want to give both of you at least 1 minute. And, you know, as being a good host, any closing comments that you have. So we'll start with ladies first. Kim, you got a minute your closing remarks, if you would. Kim?
Oh, of course. First of all, we were honored to be asked. And this is a wonderful endeavor because this is such an important part of our life. You know, as Muslims, marriage is extremely important, and we are very much wanting to do as much as we can to have a successful marriage. So these are wonderful things that have been, you know, that we've been able to share and talk about, and you and Quran, you all have shared it and helped to talk about these things as well. So we've enjoyed being a part of this, and you know, hope what we've shared has been of help and been useful.
Yes, alhamdulillah, most definitely. Okay, Mustafa, you got your minute. What would you like to leave with the radio listening audience, Mustafa?
Thank Allah for you and Quran, what you're doing. I think this is so beautiful. That we continue in this way, sharing information that is so vital. I know how you are with cheese and crackers and soup and all that, so I'm not going to go too far.
I'm waiting for you and Kim to open up that cafe and expand it to a restaurant and get more soup and bean soup and cream of wheat muffins on the menu, Mustafa and Kim.
But alhamdulillah, may Allah continue to bless you all with this. It's beautiful. And we will love any opportunity to, you know, participate in this. So we could talk off air, but we love any opportunity.
Okay, we'll talk off air and everything.
We're taking notes. We're learning, too. We're taking notes, too.
That's right.
Alhamdulillah. All right. So Quran, your closing remarks, if you would, and I'll close us out.
I just want to thank our guests, and we really enjoyed you and appreciate you. And to our listening audience, we thank you also. And ask you to go ahead and jot down some questions for next week as we continue this discussion of the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. Be sure to look at our Facebook and our Instagram pages if you're not already liking and following us. It is called Bring It to the Lab. And if you have questions or comments that you want to make via email, then our email address is bringittothelab@gmail.com. And so, Mark, take it away.
All right, so I'm going to close it out and want to just say want to thank you, Quran, always for your insight and wisdom that you share each and every Thursday night here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and our special guest facilitators, Mustafa and Kim Mujahid. Really thank you for accepting our invitation and sharing your insight and wisdom. Allah has blessed you with it. Our radio listening audience, as they listen in, hopefully you benefited greatly from the information education tonight here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We want to also alert you that tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah Day. So for whatever reason, if you're immobilized and cannot get out, go to your local masajids and Islamic centers. Here on IWDM Radio, we ask that you do tune in to Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, the longtime resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Lata Juma with Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir. Also, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Michael Mikhail Sahir. Words Make People. He always have very intriguing guests and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And this is focused this month. Of course, you know, in the month that's labeled as African-American / Black, Palladian Ethnic History Month. So I know that he has excellent presentations till the end of this month, and that happens each and every Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. One of our newest productions here, this is an outstanding production that's hosted by Rashid Salam and also by Instructor Abdul Shaheed, who is a teacher of Centometry, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. That happens each and every Tuesday night here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. You need to bring your pen and pad for this learning lab as they go through, they're going through the 11 systems that Almighty God, Allah, has created and how those systems actually function. A lot of great information. This past Wednesday, it was on the reproduction system, the reproduction system. We have these systems. Do we know how they work and how they are to be maintained and sustained for healthy life and functionality? So tune in each and every Tuesday here for that. And yesterday, the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slodin and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. That's each and every Wednesday, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective and how to reconstruct a destructive family life. This is very important, and we're doing an accelerated version of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. You need to bring, this is a family affair, you need to bring the whole family to this learning lab, because most of us, when we started our families, we didn't have a manual, we didn't have a clue in terms of what to do. So this is a learning lab on parenting and family reconstruction. And then following that is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. As I always would have at the roundtable, very distinguished and esteemed people from inside of our community, but also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. As all of this month, the emphasis has been on two of our outstanding leaders that don't get very much recognition, and that is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. And so we'll have a special guest at the MGM Roundtable, so stay tuned for who that guest will be. And want to just say each and every Thursday night is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with our very distinguished and esteemed co-host, Quran Shakir, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that happens every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we've just been so blessed today to have Mustafa and Kim Mujahid as our special guest facilitators. So, once again, one last but not least, we do invite you to tune in to the Study Al-Islam with our beloved sister and friend, Fitra Muhammad, who is the founder and the CEO of the Study Al-Islam, some of the most outstanding intellects in our community. have appeared on that show. You heard one of them tonight, which is Quran Shakir. And there's many, many others of life topics. So please tune in to that. That's each and every Sunday morning. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it starts at 10 a.m. If you're in the Central, it's 9 a.m. And if you're out on the West Coast, it's 7 a.m. for Study Out Islam. They have a new number. That number is 717-908-1837. Once again, 717-908-1837. The passcode is still the same to be able to get in. That's 684012#. 684012#. Just in case you miss it, you can dial that. Get the last presentation, the last presenter, up until this coming Sunday, and there'll be a new presenter, a new presentation. Also, here at WDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal, and as many of you listened in last night at the MGM Roundtable, my very distinguished, esteemed guest, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, the longtime editor of the Muslim Journal. Oh, boy, I tell you, she really disseminated a lot of information. And so let's continue to help and support the Muslim Journal by taking out a subscription. If you have a subscription, think about a loved one in your family, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a community member, an elder, a pioneer, and purchase a Muslim Journal for them or for your local library or what. But let's continue to support the Muslim Journal, and they accept donations throughout the year. And I told Aisha I will be making donations to the Muslim Journal. This is the lifeblood of our community, and if you're a Muslim, then you should be reading the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for listening in and those participating, our special guest tonight, and our co-host and co-facilitator, also in terms of the wisdom and insight that they shared and all. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.